Fantastic. So welcome, everybody. This is Andy Marks. He's here speaking in a bit of an accent. You'll hear a few accents tonight, which I'm really excited about. First of all, thank you all so much for joining. No matter where you heard about this call, we've had people hear about these calls through any number of ways, and we're excited no matter how you found your way here, as long as you're here to listen to LHON Live. If you're here for something else, sorry to disappoint. Anyway, we're excited to have you. This is actually, I'm really excited to say, our three-year anniversary. I met Maria Johnson. I think she's on the call. Maria?
Hi, everyone. Hello, hello.
And Jessica Loomer, who is here as well.
Hi, everyone.
The three of us met at the second LHON conference in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, in June of 2014, and it was only a few months before we had our first LHON live call, because after meeting everyone there, we realized how beneficial it was to share experiences, to kind of connect with other people going through a similar situation, and even just realize that so much of what you've been through that feels so unique to you is actually shared with people all across the globe and every day. And so we thought that aspect was really, really cool, and thought that there had to be a way to share that benefit not only at the conference one time a year in a single place, but all across the globe and more frequently than once a year. So we started conducting these conference calls once a month, and we've done it without fail since then, always inviting new speakers to share their stories. So we've met countless numbers of people at this point. We have tons of regular callers who look forward to this as much as we do. So we're really excited for everyone who has joined, whether it's your first call or your, let's see, 36th call, actually 37th call. Regardless, we're happy to have you, and I hope you enjoy it. I'll share a few times throughout the call probably, but we still maintain our email address. So if you have any questions, would like to be a speaker on a future call, or have advice for us, I haven't said this in a long time, but we're still happy to take your advice. You can email us at lhonlive@gmail.com. And we'll get back to you. regardless, you can reach out to us on Facebook or any number of ways in addition to that. That said, we will start getting ready to kick things off here. The format of our call is pretty consistent these days. What I will do in just a moment is introduce you all to our speaker this evening, and I will chat with him and have him share some of his story for a while. Later on, we will allow everyone the opportunity to ask questions of him, ask questions of other people in the group, still on the recorded portion of the call. However, after that, even later on, we will turn the recording off for anyone who has questions that they'd like off the record, or anyone who wants to say mean things about me and not have it recorded. That's okay, too. Lisa's always nice enough to laugh at me. I appreciate that.
There's nothing bad to say about you.
That's okay. That's why I don't have everyone muted yet, just so I can hear people's reactions. Anyway, without further ado, I will go ahead and mute everyone else for this portion of the call, and ask our speaker to unmute and begin his introduction.
The conference has been unmuted. The conference has been muted.
All right, everyone. Now I just listen to myself talk, which is the weirdest part of this whole thing. But really excited for tonight's speaker, or this morning's speaker, depending on where you're calling from. He joins us from Australia. Many of you met him actually at the most recent LHON conference in D.C. here in the U.S. He was amazing enough to come all the way out to the U.S. and actually made a trip of it and went all across the country. But as I mentioned earlier, one of our key benefits of this call is really to share some of the things that people get to learn at those conferences and the benefits of just hearing other people. And we love to share that year round. So we'll talk a lot about what he shared at the conference, but we'll also dive into some other topics and give everyone an opportunity to ask any questions of him. So without further ado, Richie Hollins, everybody. How are you, Richie? I don't hear you yet. If you think you've unmuted, I don't hear you.
Can you
hear
me?
You are. Yep.
Okay. I did star 6, not star 7. Sorry.
not a problem. That's okay. I actually have had a speaker not come before. So you're here, and that's fantastic. Thanks for joining us. How are you this morning?
I'm all good, thanks. Yeah, I was saying before, it's a bit cold over here at the moment, but I'm okay.
So if you don't mind, I gave a little introduction, but if you don't mind just sharing with everyone, who are you, Richie?
Yeah, okay, sure. Hi, everybody. So I'm a 43-year-old man. I live in Adelaide, Australia. Adelaide, for those of you who don't know my city, we're the fifth biggest city in Australia, and we live. My city is on the south coast and in the middle. And so city of about one point two million people. I trained as a lawyer, and have worked in government most of my career, working in both legal roles, but also policy roles. And now work in a policy role. Apart from that, I have, two brothers and a sister and four nephews and a niece, which mean a lot to me, and I have a lot of fun with them. Sort of my hobbies are sort of I love food, cooking and baking, and I love eating food, of course. Also, I love the arts. I'm really interested in drama and opera and those types of things. And film, I love film, and enjoy sort of some social sport, but not fully into sport, but tennis and those sort of things. So yeah.
Awesome, Richie.
Yeah.
No, thanks so much. I shared with you earlier, I'm always excited to have another theater lover on these calls, and excited for that. I know we have tons of sports lovers, and it seems like we don't have as many people who really enjoy a good musical, which I certainly do, which is fantastic. Excited to have you here. So my next question would be, what brought you here specifically as part of the LHON community? As we've said before on these calls, it's for anyone who's at all in interested in any way in LHON, whether it be because they have friends involved in it or their family or they themselves have been affected. So what brought you to this community?
Yep, I became affected in February last year. Which was a bit of a surprise to me at the age of 42. My sister was affected 10 years ago, but the information 10 years ago, the information that I had remembered in my head was, well, you know, it hits people between the ages of 18 and 25, 26. So at the age of 42, I thought, well, you know, I got through that okay, so I'll be fine. But then it sort of hit me then.
Go ahead.
I just said, and then I joined the calls about middle of last year and have found that really useful as a way of connecting with the community.
That's fantastic. I know many of our calls, or our frequent callers, became listeners after we convinced them. I don't know there's really a better word than convinced many of them to share their stories as well, and that's how many of them became listeners. But we love it even more when a listener decides to share their story and some of that. So if you don't mind walking us through a little bit of what was it like last February, especially given that your sister had already been affected. Was she younger when she was affected?
Yeah, so she's 5 years younger than I am, and so it was 10 years ago. So, yeah, she was 26 at the time when she became affected. I had that in my mind. February was where I sort of say it started, but really I started noticing some troubles about November before that. I was working really long hours, like 14-hour days, and was really exhausted, had been working really long hours for a long time. And so all I noticed was actually on the computer screen at work and nowhere else, I just noticed that I wasn't focusing as well. I've always had really good eyesight, like even a few months before that, my doctor checked my eyesight for driving reasons, and I could read the bottom line of her eye chart with individual eyes, no problems. So I've always had perfect eyesight. So it was a bit strange that, like, on the computer screen I wasn't focusing so well, but I sort of thought, well, it's just probably because I'm working too much and I'm probably a bit tired, and it slowly got a bit worse, and I started seeing an ophthalmologist, but she did not know what was going on, even though I told her that my sister had LHON. And then in February, I wasn't too worried about it before then, strangely. I just was, oh, well, something's up, but, you know, and I wasn't too worried about it. But then I went overseas in early February for 12 days and was driving my car the day I left. But then the day I got back, 12 days later, I didn't feel safe to drive my car because during that time, it really, my eyesight got a lot worse in that first eye, and then the second eye had started by that stage. And the next day after that, I got an emergency appointment with my ophthalmologist, and she was happy to call it as LHON by that stage because of the way it was behaving. She'd run the gene test in that meantime. She'd run a whole lot of other tests, the MRIs, that type of thing that we've all done. Fortunately, in a much quicker time than what some of the stories I've heard from the community. So she ran all those other tests and found them all negative, but also the gene test for the standard 3 mutations were also negative, and that was the case for my sister as well. And there was no further testing. So, available in Australia. I've since found out that my mutation is 4171. So that's the process from there, and then my eyesight went down quite quickly, like everyone else's does, and was legally blind 6 weeks later. And then, but then I kept on going from that. In a way, I wish I could go back to the point of legally blind, because when I think about what I could do in April last year, I sort of think that that'd be a good spot to go back to. But I've got much worse since then, and the fact that actually even now, very slowly, I'm still noticing some declines about every month and a half. I notice just one little dip, which is a bit upsetting, and hopefully it will stop soon.
Got it. Well, thanks for sharing. So yeah, you mentioned what it was like back then. It certainly seems like you, in just a year and a half, have come a long way. I mean, going so far as to go to a conference literally as far as you can away from where you live only a year and a half later, and it's now been a month and a half since then. So I know you were doing some traveling. You said a 12-day trip right before you were officially diagnosed. Are you still able to do some of that traveling now?
Yeah. I've been a big traveler in my time. I love travel, and I should mention that in my hobbies before. Love travel, love experiencing other cultures and meeting other people from other countries. And I've been really fortunate that I've had the resources, the income available to fund that. Since I've lost my vision, I've actually done 3 trips, which is more, I don't normally travel that quickly, but I went off to Europe and Morocco in November last year, my friends were celebrating their 40th birthdays in Sri Lanka over at Christmas time, so I went over to Sri Lanka for about 4 weeks there, and then of course off for the conference. Partly because I've travelled a fair bit, I also know therefore what sort of traps you can fall into when you travel, and what type of silly tricks some people might try and pull on you. So I sort of still feel pretty confident, even though I'm vision impaired, that I sort of know what sort of things to look out for, and what sort of things make life a bit easier when you travel. Plus, also, I find the airlines really helpful and are pretty good at, if you direct them, they're pretty good at helping you out.
As a veteran traveler, then, how is traveling blind different than traveling a year and a half ago, 2 years ago?
Yeah, I mean, I guess probably the biggest challenge for me is you know, finding a street address or navigating around the place. I've been trained on Blind Square, but I find that really totally difficult app to use. Google Maps is sometimes helpful, but what I have found useful is Uber is great because you can type in an address or type in, I want to go to Joe's restaurant, and then it will actually come up, and so you can rely on the Uber driver to find the place you need. I find that useful where Uber is available. Navigation is probably the hardest thing. I find airlines really good at helping me out, although I did find American Airlines actually a bit harder than other airlines. I've flown with Emirates and Qantas and Cathay Pacific since I've been blind, and they are really good at providing assistance actually on the plane and boarding on the plane, but also navigating from the aircraft to even to a taxi rank. I've had a lot of someone actually with me go through all those formalities and even find me a taxi and even log me onto the Wi-Fi so I can order an Uber or that type of thing. So, but often that requires you to sort of indicate what you need, and I find that really useful if I actually really dictate what I need and actually ask them to help me with, you know, everything I need, then that actually comes out beneficial. For example, I travel, of course, with a lock on my suitcase, which is like a combination lock, but of course I can't do the combination anymore. So at a time like that at the airport, when I've got somebody near me, I often actually ask them to unlock it for me, tell them the code so they can unlock it for me, so that when I get to the hotel room at the other end and I've got nobody around me, then I can't do that anymore, and that can be quite tricky. But being aware of where you'll need things, and actually being quite strong in advocating for them is something I find quite useful.
Did it take you some time to learn to advocate for yourself in that way? I mean,
I guess it did. I mean, I'm a pretty independent person, and I'm not somebody who, I like to do things for myself. I'm pretty independent, and always have been. So it took a while for me, generally, once I started becoming impaired, to ask for help, and even some things where it would have been really useful to actually, ask for help. Like, I just didn't feel comfortable with that. Like, for example, one friend said, look, because what I needed help with was things online or things to, I needed somebody in my apartment, because I live alone, a friend coming over and spending a couple of hours with me, and I could use their eyes to look up things online or read something to me. That was really useful. And my friend suggested, well, why don't we sort out a roster with all your friends? They can come on, every Tuesday night and then put themselves down and come do that. That's very logical and it makes a lot of sense, but I just didn't feel comfortable with it because, of course, that independence thing. So it's taken a while to actually learn how to be more independent, but also it's taught me over time, just pure necessity has taught me the importance of advocating for your needs and actually letting people know how you can be helped. Also, of course, because our disability is an invisible disability, and people see us and see us as, when we're walking along on the street, we look perfectly normal. I've actually found that's actually been a real challenge, but also the need to actually advocate and explain, look, I'm vision impaired, I don't look it, but I'm vision impaired and I need help with this. I can't see your face. So I find that really useful to sort of say, well, I can't see your face, for example. When people really react to that and go, oh, okay, wow, it must be bad. So I find that's actually really important as well. Although it was a challenge and it took a while for me to work out some things and how to explain things.
Yeah, no. I go back and forth from really appreciating the fact that at times we can almost turn off the visibility of our disability, if you will, and have people not know immediately, which in some sense allows us to get treated the way we would have been initially treated, or at least make it, the way I would say it, make a first impression before people know, which I appreciate at times. Also, you deal with a lot of, I don't want to speak to you too much, but like there's a sense of people being skeptical of a disability that they can't see, or that they
Absolutely.
See us walking around and we're looking generally at them, those types of things. It's easy to be skeptical of. I do want to point out that I'm excited to have another speaker on the call who is a guy living alone, which I am as well, and I am really excited about that. Although you mentioned cooking, so you are in a league of your own when it comes to that. I'm not in that bucket at all. I do certainly relate to your roster of friends and that kind of thing. I don't have a group of people who come around like that. Did you end up setting up something like that, or is that just something that you kind of deal with when something happens?
No, I didn't. I was too bloody stubborn for it. I'm disappointed in myself about that, but that's the way it is. But I do have some friends come over every now and then, or I also have become quite big on, if I'm at a lunch or a dinner or a breakfast or coffee or so with some friends, I might say, look, hey, I need to buy some tickets for blah, blah, blah. Can you go on your phone now and do that for me? And friends are more than happy to do that, but I've become probably more recent months actually much more confident in just using those opportunities to say, look, yeah, you've got a computer in your pocket, like, let's get it out, and I just need you to look up one thing for me. And so that's been useful. Also, my sister, she does come in to my place most weeks, like on Thursday nights, and we spend the Thursday night together, and we call it admin night, administration night, to sort out my papers and to do anything online and that sort of thing. So that generally works. But also, I've got friends I know I can call, including my sister. I can call if I need something urgently done online, even friends interstate. I can just call them up and say, hey, look, I need this. Do you mind helping me out? So that's how I get things done.
No, I probably need to institute some kind of admin night. I don't know if anyone in my family is a part of is on the call tonight, but I would be remiss if I didn't mention the fact that for the better part of a month, at least 3 weeks in my new apartment, I had a smoke alarm going off every 32 seconds before some friend came over and fixed it. And I had grown very accustomed to it. To be honest, I thought I couldn't sleep once I had it not going off anymore. But I was it was nice when it eventually stopped going off, and I put a battery in it again. But there are those kinds of things that it's easy to say that doesn't matter right now and get to it the next time you have someone who comes over and insists instead of asking for it yourself. That said, I mean, something I think I learned, something that's intuitive to people when you start to think about it, is like, I mean, people like to help people. And so, I mean, frankly, asking someone to do something that is so trivial to them, is almost doing them a favor. And people love helping people. And when they can literally do nothing and it be helpful to you, they owe you for that. So,
that's so true.
That's, I mean, when I think back to when people want to ask me for advice or something like that, something I can still add, like, I mean, of course I want to do that. No one's going to freak out because I answered their question. And so therefore I'm going to thank people for ordering my Papa John's pizza on my phone when I don't want to deal with the app or something like that. But it's not a big deal.
I will say, you probably gets in the way of, pride actually probably lack of confidence gets in the way sometimes of, like, you know, sort of, is it okay for me to ask for that? Like, I'll ask for friends, but you might sort of say, I don't know, I can't think of an example, but you might be thinking, maybe I'll ask for a concession ticket when I go and buy a theatre ticket or so, and I think, but I've actually can earn a good wage, and so I earn a good wage, so I should pay full price, blah, blah, blah. But then sometimes actually you need to, I do run things by my friends and say, look, do you think it's okay to actually sort of expect that service to do that for me, or do you think it's okay for me to actually ask to ask for a concession price? And people go, yeah, of course it is, like, Ricky, like, you know, you've got a disability, that's what it's there for, blah, blah, blah. But sometimes I need to hear that from other people because a blindness or a disability is so personal and so internal, and so you sort of sometimes need that context setting, someone to put that in the context and say, yeah, of course it's okay, yeah. So
yeah, I mean, I can't agree more. I mean, just like so many things we deal with, I mean, I think communication is important, whether it be with your friends, I mean, or other people in situations like ours. I mean, it's powerful for other people who are listening to the call right now to hear that we think about it the way we do, and you think about it the way you do. And there are people on this call who have been affected by LHON for 30-plus years. I don't think anyone 40-plus. But and then there are people in situations like yours who may have been affected in 2017 even. And so I think all of us kind of understanding where we are is important in that way.
Yeah, and also I've learned, I mean, things now, what 15 months in, are so much easier than they were a year ago. Like, yeah, I can do now voiceover on my phone. I can do, a lot of things like that. And so I can now use JAWS to a certain extent. And also I've worked out systems. I've worked out how to, you know, cook and how to do things while you're blind. And that's much harder and much more difficult. But once you learn out systems, and that's fine. So once, I figure now that, I can get about life a lot better than I used to be about a year ago, and a lot more independent. But also I'm realizing that only 15 months in, I'm still a bit of a baby in LHON land, and I've got a long way to go. And in another 15 months, I'll actually be a lot more effective than I am now, and a lot more stronger ability to get around and to navigate through, computers and that sort of thing. So, yeah, I think recognizing that it's a process, and that, the longer you're blind, for the first few years at least, the more effective and more capable you can be is actually worthwhile, because those dark times, which are pretty common, and those dark times, it's actually really good to explain, it will get better. This is actually the worst it's going to be.
Yeah, and the only thing I would add to that is simply that, I mean, everyone's, I use the word journey here, although that sounds so cliche, is unique in the sense that, I mean, if you've been affected for 15 and 20 years and you never learned voiceover, that's okay, and that it's not too late. And if you want to do that, I'm not saying everyone needs to do that, but if you want to learn voiceover and there's someone out there who wants to learn voiceover, you have, I just checked, 20-plus people on a phone call right now, many of whom would be happy to teach you some tricks of voiceover. But that said, if you have been affected 2 years and there are things out there where you're like, hey, I'll learn that after I've been affected 5 years. I mean, if you want to learn it now, it's not too early, it's not too late, that when you're ready to learn things, or when you're ready, if you want to learn how to play some sport, or you want to learn how to write or type or whatever it happens to be, whenever you're ready to do it is the right time to learn to do it.
That's right. Yep.
With that, I think we'll head towards about 8:30 here on the East Coast of the U.S. First of all, thank you so much for sharing, Richie. I know I haven't really squeezed out every piece of information you have to offer by any means, but I like to leave our audience on the edge of their seats. I will go ahead and ask others. I think we'll take a first stab since we have a call with as many people as there are on it right now. I'll ask first for people, if you have questions, to unmute yourselves, and I'll give that a couple minutes. You can press *7 if you have a way to press *7 on your phone, and it will unmute you. And Richie, I'm speaking for him, but he would be happy to answer any questions you have. And in just a couple minutes, if you're unable to press *7, I will be opening it up to everyone. So we will be able to hear you soon enough, and no need to worry there.
Richie, it's Lissa. I got a couple questions for you.
Sure.
So I was curious, when you talked about your unlocking the suitcase issue, and I was thinking of possible solutions for it, and I wondered if you'd explored any of them. One that comes to mind is a free app called Be My Eyes. Does that ring any bells?
Yep.
Have you tried it?
Yeah, I have tried it. That's one where somebody on the other part of the other line somewhere in the world is going to look through your phone and see what you're taking a photo of and answer your question. Is that right?
That is right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've actually tried that a couple of times, and I've not been able to connect with anybody.
Okay. So that answers my question because I didn't know if it was working. And then a similar one, are you familiar with IRA? A-I-R-A, IRA?
No.
So IRA is the same concept but kind of on steroids. In other words, it's on a professional basis. So, and Maria's tried it out and Wayne's tried it out and there's a couple people in the group. Candace Haney is now using it. And somebody was at the conference with it. I forget who that was. Maybe Zach Turner. But, I'm confusing things. She has something else. Strike that. But Maria and Wayne are on the call, and I know they've demoed it. But the concept is it's like a Google Glass type feature with a camera on it. And with the camera, it's showing – and you have an IRA agent. You have a person who's sitting there and looking in front of the screen. And when you turn the system on, they connect you through your phone to an agent. And then the agent can see what you can see. They see through a GPS system where you are, and they can help you navigate. But as I'm talking, I just remembered it's only available in the U.S. and you're in Australia. So
right,
that doesn't do you
sure.
any good. So forget that.
That on the podcast, actually. Yeah.
Okay. And then I was also, I know there's that new Seeing AI app, and I don't know if that's available globally.
Is that AI Polly?
No, it's Seeing AI. Microsoft
just released it. The new Microsoft
it.
One. Yeah. I've heard about that one.
Yeah, the Microsoft one. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've heard about that one on the podcast. It sounds pretty good. I think that's still phasing out across the world. I haven't tried to get it in Australia yet, but it sounds quite good.
Yeah. Okay. So those are the things that popped in my head. And the only other thing I wanted to mention was, Andy, when you mentioned that you weren't sure that we had anyone 40 plus years, I just wanted to mention that John Knox is on the call and he might take that honor. So.
Oh, fantastic. the only things that occurred to me when you, going back to the lock, I know there's an app that I'm familiar with called AI Poly, and it's completely artificial intelligence in that sense. So I find it hard to believe if it were like limited by country. But that's something for anyone on the call. If you want to check out, it's an app that was introduced to me a few months ago and I've only played with a little bit, to be honest. I would compare it. If you've heard of OrCam, it's very much like OrCam through your phone. So that's something exciting for some people to try out. I actually know some people who worked on developing that, which is how I first knew about it. But I've heard about it through other means as well now. And the other thing, just if we wanted to find a quick fix for lock, when I used to go to the gym frequently and had a lock similar to yours where you would spin the combination around, I actually just made it easy and went and bought a lock that had a key. And so that was my quick fix.
I'm hopeless with keys, though.
No, I can imagine.
Yeah. And also some of the apps, what I find really useful is of course the KNFB reader, which I think probably a lot of people use, and I find that really useful, the KNFB. It's great for reading the mail or other things like that.
Anyone else, feel free to press *7 and ask any questions here, and before long, I will be unmuting it for everyone.
It's Lisa again. I don't mean to jump in, but it was quiet. You mentioned you have a couple other brothers, and I don't know how they're feeling about having a sister and brother both affected. And are they, like, learning from you, or are they not thinking about it, or how are your brothers reacting?
They're nervous, that's for sure. So one's older, he's 40, he's about 46, and the other one is actually a twin of my sister, but of course fraternal, and so he's 38 now, or 39 now. They're nervous, of course, but look, what's really interesting is that in the 10 years since my sister was diagnosed, of course the amount of information on the web is so much better now, as well as the information the doctors know is much better, and Lisa's website of course is fantastic for providing information, that sort of thing. Just we didn't know about it 10 years ago, even if it did exist. So So now knowing a lot more about triggers, about staying away from smoke, staying away from drinking too much, that type of thing, is really useful. And my sister has three children who we're very worried about as well. And so it means that we can be much more careful about you know, their exposure to smoke and things like that. Also, you know, the doctors don't talk about, you know, stress so much as a trigger, but for me, I was, as I said, I was working really long hours. I was under a lot of stress. I wasn't sleeping properly, wasn't eating properly, and my sister was, at the time when she was diagnosed, was also working and studying full-time as well, and so we suspect that possibly for us, maybe, you know, stress is a trigger, or that lack of sleep or lack of eating properly, and so we're talking to my brothers about that. Fortunately, my sister and I, well, not fortunately, but, you know, as it works out, my sister and I are the ones who push ourselves a lot more than my two brothers do anyway. So, yeah, they're a bit more relaxed about life. And yeah, so maybe if that is a trigger, then perhaps that's going to be okay.
Yeah, and so my takeaway there is don't get distressed.
Yep.
Which
Look
is probably going to stress me out.
Yeah,
maybe that's just me.
I've learned a lot of lessons out of this, like about the importance of sleep and the importance about good nutrition and looking at, and stopping and looking after yourself. Yeah.
I think it's a good reminder that hey, whether the science is out on any of this, but I mean, like, there are tons of things we can just do to take care of ourselves in general, and whether it's
Absolutely.
Our mental health or our physical health. Sleep is fantastic. Get yourself
Absolutely.
A good bed.
Yep.
And I'm not going to give a promo for any certain type of bed, but you all get a good one that you enjoy. Well, since it was quiet last time I asked, I will go ahead and unmute it to everyone. That said, once I unmute, if you know you have a lot of background noise, I'll say this before I unmute. If you know you have someone watching Terminator in the background or something with equal amounts of noise, as soon as I unmute, I believe it'll unmute everyone. So either push the mute button on your phone, if you know where that is, or press *6, and that will mute your line. So we won't be able to hear your line, and we would appreciate it if everyone could just be as quiet as you can be if you remain unmuted. And with that, I will unmute the call.
The conference has been unmuted.
What are you saying, Richie? Yep.
There's Wayne.
Hey, Wayne, how are you?
Good day, Wayne.
I'm going back to the padlock.
All right.
I've used it's a padlock called Sesame, like Open Sesame. And
yeah.
I've used that for over 30 years. And it's four digits at the bottom. And you can stick a pin inside of it, and you can change the combination to anything you want. And
yep.
if you roll it one way, it locks up, stops at 0000, and then you can
mm-hmm.
count the clicks. So I keep my two middle digits at 0, and I won't tell you my other digits on the end. And then you just count the clicks, and they're
yeah.
low numbers.
Oh, yeah.
So.
That's a good idea. Yeah, that's a good idea. And is that TSA approved? You know, like, is that one they can open up if they need to?
Is it what?
Yeah, there's those that the TSA approves of, and so the TSA can open them up if they need to and then still close them again. Do you know if that is...
I don't know.
No, okay, yeah. All right, it's good to know. Thank you.
Richie, hello?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah, hi, it's Alice from the Netherlands here. I wanted to just pick up on self-care that you were talking about earlier. What are the things that you're doing that are helping?
Oh, wow. At the moment, I'm going through a bit of a rough patch, like, with some dark thoughts and that sort of stuff, so I'm really spending a lot of time focusing on my sleep and making sure I prioritize like a good 8 hours or 9 hours of sleep, and that's helping a lot. Exercise, of course, helps a lot. Occasional massage or things like that to sort of relax and de-stress the body. But also just like sometimes when it's dark, when you're going through dark times like that, and of course in winter time over here, it's much easier to, much easier to fall into those dark times. It's good to check out and to say, look, that's what I'm going through. I just need to slow down. And I'm the sort of person that pushes himself quite a bit, and I push myself to work and all those things and a lot of things throughout the day. But just holding off and stopping for a bit and just sort of saying, look, no, don't push yourself. That's actually really useful as well. Still learning about those sort of things though. Yeah,
that must take a lot of discipline. Is that inner drive is strong.
Absolutely, yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks for chiming in, Alice.
Thank you. Thanks, Richie.
Thanks, Alice.
Any other questions out there? Feel free to write any questions to Richie or any of the others here on the call as well.
Richie, it's Jeff from Virginia. I don't have a question. I just wanted to say I just got on the call.
Go ahead, Jeff.
No question. I just wanted to say hi.
Thanks, Jeff. Where are you calling from in Virginia?
Richmond, Chesapeake, Virginia, right, Virginia Beach.
Very cool. I'm very familiar with the area. I was born in Franklin, Virginia. I don't know if you know where that is, but
half an hour west of us.
Yep.
That's another one of those that was at the conference that you missed mm-hmm. this year, Andy. We're so sorry you weren't there, but we were glad Jeff made it.
I had a great time at the conference. It was a blast.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah. It's a great opportunity to meet other people who are affected. Like as I said before, my sister was affected, but she's the only person I'd met before that the conference who was affected. So it was just so great to see everybody and meet everybody and be really inspired by people who have been affected for longer than I have and who are still really confident and going about their lives and seeing how they go about their lives and how they use their phones. That stuff, I found that really really inspiring.
Hey, it's Brody. I was wondering, do you guys know where the conference is next year?
Nashville, Tennessee.
Nashville, perfect. Thank you.
June 29th.
Brody, hey, it's Maria. I hope you can make it to a conference. I hope you can make it.
Oh, I'm definitely going to be, definitely for sure. It was this last one, but the one before I wanted to make it, and I didn't. So.
Yeah.
No, I definitely want to make it for sure.
Yeah, Nashville's going to be fun. And, Lissa, can you reiterate the dates? It's around the same weekend, right?
June 29th is the conference. June 28th is the pre-conference party.
Perfect. Okay. Yeah, everyone just...
Mark said you had a bunch of the pre-conference.
Are we having a party in Wayne's room?
I missed that party. I was invited.
Well, how about, we spread that pre-conference, out for a day or two ahead. So it's going to be so big, we're going to have to, make it a two-dayer.
Yeah, it looks like the conference is again on a Friday, which is exciting for...
Yeah.
We'll need connecting rooms.
Awesome.
We need to definitely block out, a whole floor, especially for us affected kids. It would be a lot easier. To be on one floor, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Any other questions? Yes, please.
Well, has anyone else used that Seeing AI app? I've heard about that, and it sounds pretty interesting and sounds like it's pretty useful for people like us. Has anyone used it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I went down to the NFB with Lissa, and they loaded it on there for me. And so I spent, I don't know, I was out in the garage for half an hour. We have shelves with boxes of pasta and cans of vegetables. And so I'm out there until I couldn't take the heat anymore and scanning, these different barcodes. and it tells you, you know, what it is, and then you hit see more, and it'll tell you, you know, more about the product.
And how much is that app, Wayne?
And free. Guy loaded it up right there for me. Doesn't cost a cent. And then you could take picture of people, and it'll describe them. And the first person I took a picture of was Lissa. And I'm not going to give her age away, but it said she was 33-year-old woman with a looking happy.
With what?
33-year-old woman looking happy.
I was happy because I thought I was 33.
Yeah.
She was high-fiving everybody down there.
I would be too. I've shown that app to a lot of people, and I won't let anyone take a picture of me again because I don't want anyone to get any closer to crack.
Yeah. I have to ask, Wayne, did you take a picture of yourself after that?
Let's move on.
Oh, see, that's the thing. This is Maria. There's a bug in my app because, honestly, it said I was 3 months older than I really was, and I was not happy at all. So it was like, it was like unhappy woman, blonde, you know. I have to say the age was accurate, but I really think that seeing AI needs to say.
But we're not aiming for accuracy on age.
Maria, are you 25?
I'm really 25. It was just crazy. And they said I was 26. I just didn't get it. But they should say, female, knock off 10 years. Boom, done. I mean, really? So, unfortunately, it was accurate. I wasn't thrilled. Especially when Wayne told me that Lissa was 33. I was like, what is this? You might as well just said I was an old hag. I mean, come on. So, anyway, I was not thrilled with the age. Other than I found it to be really, really cool.
Oh, great. I understand it's got a channel, like, there's a few different channels, like, we've talked about a couple of them now, but I also understand the channel that's just like the KMFB reader that just, takes a photo of documents and reads things out.
This is ridiculous.
Yeah,
and I was just comparing it to the KMFB because the KMFB actually comes with the price tag. Okay.
Yeah. I think the only difference is the KMFB one works offline, and so if you're not connected to the web, that's still fine, which was good for me when I was flying on an airplane. But then with us being AI, actually still requires, because it still uses the cloud, so it still uses the internet. So that's the only difference there. But still, hey, look, much better than paying $100 for the KMFB.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Actually, fantastic question, though, Richie. Go ahead.
Sorry, it's Lisa from Canada. I want to say, you know, Richie, as always, your speech was great at the conference, and it was, you know, very nice to finally meet you after seeing your name pop up on Facebook. And I have to say, guys, ask him any questions on his iPhone, and he knows it all. Like, it's amazing some of the features that Richie was showing me how to do. I'm now using on my iPad. Yes, I know, guys, I've stepped to the world of technology. It's taken me a while, but I'm doing it, and it's very neat. How far you've come so far, Richie, to me is inspiring.
Thank you. That's really nice, Lisa. I think learning from a couple of you guys at the conference, I'm realizing that my local blind institution actually isn't as bad as I think they are. I thought they were pretty terrible, but I mean, that taught me a lot of those sort of things about how to use the phone and that type of thing. And it's some nifty little tricks. Yeah.
Actually, there is another app that I use. I use the Be Specular, and I know that one is available all over the world, were some of the ones that were mentioned, like Lissa mentioned about, are only, unfortunately, available in the U.S. So I'm moving to the U.S. I've come to that conclusion.
Mm.
Welcome. I think at this point we'll trade you some people.
Okay, sounds good.
Starting with the president.
Yep.
Lisa, hey, it's Brody, how are you?
Oh, I'm good, Brody. Nice to talk to you. How are you doing?
Yes, I'm okay.
Good.
Had doctor's appointment today, and it's a little better than I expected, so that's good.
Good.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So Lisa's one of the ones I always think of as someone who, correct me if I'm wrong, Lisa, but I think the first call you were on, you were sharing with us, because it was November of 2014.
Nice.
Yes, it was, actually, and it was a cooking one.
It was a cooking one. That's how I always know it's November.
Yeah.
It's like she was making a grilled cheese.
Yeah,
she?
I knew that was coming up. I'm still trying to find that little grilled cheese flipper that you have, Andy. Like, I've looked everywhere, and I can't find it anywhere.
Well, if I use mine, I'd say I need to keep it. But if you come to New York, you can have mine.
Okay.
Any other questions for folks out there? I know we're getting close to the top of the hour. I will unmute in just a moment for anyone who is a first-time caller and wants to introduce themselves once we're off the recording, or any other questions. We're happy to take them.
Richie?
Yep.
It's Chris. After the conference, where did you travel to?
I went off to I stayed in Washington D.C. for a few more days until about the Wednesday, and I explored there. It was great to be there for the 4th of July, and I went to the Smithsonian's and that type of thing. They were great. Oh, by the way, the Smithsonian's like were fantastic with looking after me, like and providing me with a 1-on-1 guide for about 3 hours. Like, it was amazing. Like so if you ever anyone going to the to D.C. and wants to see the Smithsonian, like. Particularly if I think you're supposed to arrange it beforehand, but they did it when I got there. But like amazing, like I had one-on-one guiding for about 3 hours.
Wow.
And then after that, I went up to Boston planned. I was up there from Wednesday through to Sunday, that was great. Yeah. Unfortunately, I didn't get to meet Howard face to face. We had a great chat on the phone. I didn't get to go out to Salem, which I really wanted to do, but I really liked it. Yeah, it was good. Then I came home. Yeah.
Great.
And I did Los Angeles on the way there. Yeah. Nice. Yeah.
Was this your first trip to America?
Second. I back in 2002 when I was working for the federal government in Canberra, I was working for the Department of Immigration, and I came off to Washington to work in the Australian Embassy there for a couple of days, and so just a couple of days in Washington, and then before my next flight I had like 36 hours free, so I popped up to New York City where I had a couple of Australian friends staying, so for 36 hours I spent in New York and then flew on to Brazil after that, second trip, but really my first big trip and first personal trip. But I'm looking forward to going to, hopefully I'll come to Nashville next year if everything goes well. So I'm looking forward to seeing Nashville and meeting you all again. Yeah.
Nice. Are you near Tasmania?
No, not really. Tasmania is sort of in the southeast corner, like it's off the coast, of the southeast corner of Australia. But so I probably have to fly for maybe an hour and a bit to get to there. Yeah, so yeah, it's, Tasmania is a great little spot. So our country is about the same size as the mainland US, I think. It's about the same size, so it's quite a big country.
Well, I certainly still want to give people an opportunity to ask questions, but because this is the top of the hour, I think I'll start working towards turning the recording off. However, before I do that, I will remind everyone that we do these calls once a month. And we are always looking for other speakers. So if you would like to share, really what I'd like to emphasize is it doesn't matter how new you are to this group, how long you've been a part of the LHON community, or how little you think you have to share. Every story is unique, but every story shares a lot in common with other people. So even if you think your story is not worth sharing, I assure you it is. And we have 37 other people who've shared over the past 3 years who I'm sure would agree with me as well. And we love having new stories and new guests. Invite your friends. The next call will be same time, so 8 p.m. Eastern time, 5 p.m. Pacific here in the U.S. First Wednesday of the month always, which next month is September 6th, I believe.
Yeah.
And we're looking forward to having you. With that, I will go ahead and turn off the recording. And we invite everyone to hang around, and if you'd like to introduce yourself and haven't spoken up yet, I want you to feel able to do that, especially if you're a first-time caller.